You're listening to an event podcast from the Brookings Institution. To get more in-depth analysis and commentary from our scholars, subscribe to the Brookings Cafeteria Podcast on iTunes, download on Stitcher, or find on our website at brookings.edu/BCP.
Need to think through this and give the new administration, the new president, some basic options here.
Can I add to what he said? There are five communist regimes left in the world today, one in the Western Hemisphere, the other four in... If the regime in North Korea were to fail, it would, I think, in the Chinese leadership's mind, set a very bad example to their own people. And I think that's one reason why we see the situation that Nick is speaking about. So I think you need to factor that into whatever steps you're going to take. You can't treat it purely as a nuclear proliferation issue or a missile proliferation issue or as purely an arms control problem. I think we need to deal with it within that political context as well, somehow.
We'll take another cluster of questions. We'll take these two over there and over here as well.
Thank you, Ambassador Marin, for coming over here and speaking about Indian foreign policy. There's one thing that is not mentioned in Indian foreign policy a lot, and since 91, after the liberalization happened, if there's any relationship that has progressed as much as the Indo-US relationship, is India's relationship with Israel. But we have not had any prime minister or head of state visit Israel till now, and like a lot of balancing has been going on in Middle East in regard to that specific country. So how do you see that specific relationship moving forward, especially because you've served over there? And is it just going, because they're becoming our largest arms supplier going into the future. So how do you see that relationship moving forward?
We'll take that question in the back and a question here.
Thank you. My name is Kanan Srinivasan, and my question is for Ambassador Bones. You said trade tripled between, you said trade tripled between India and U.S.
Quadruple.
You also said
quadruple.
You also said trade is the number one thing that could be a stress. So can you elaborate a little bit about that contradiction, or maybe there's an opportunity?
And we'll take one question here and then go back to the panel.
Thank you. Veronica Cartier. Ambassador, what is India foreign policy in strengthening regional nuclear deterrence and reassuring defense for allies and partners in the Asia-Pacific region based upon international partnership, nuclear disarmament verification, or IPNDV? And also the related question with the current situation, the aggression of North Korea and China, is there India foreign policy included invent of missile early warning to protect the region? Thank you.
Well, on the Israel question, it's a relationship which became, well, formally India recognized Israel the day after it was created by a UN resolution in 1948, but didn't establish an embassy. There was always an Israeli consulate in Mumbai right through the period, and actually had a fairly solid relationship right through that period, even without an embassy. It's just that under the Narasimha Rao government in 92, we actually established an embassy. We decided to exchange ambassadors. And since then, the relationship's gone from strength to strength. We did that in a context where there was hope that the Palestinian issue would be settled. There was a Middle East peace process. And India has consistently looked at that relationship, not just for the bilateral benefits, because there's a lot that we can do together, we do together, in agriculture, in water, in defense, as you said, but also for how that relationship can help. We were actually encouraged by Yasser Arafat to establish an embassy, because he said it's important that the Israelis should actually hear from you and hear other points of view, rather than just listening to themselves in an echo chamber. Of course, that we know where that ended. That didn't end very well. But the fact is that Israel is one of the major regional powers. We have a huge interest in stability in West Asia. With 7 million Indians working there, with 63% of our oil imports coming from there, with almost, I think it's one-third, two-thirds of our remittances coming, well, that's $72 billion, I think, year before last. So that we have a huge interest in stability in the Middle East, in West Asia. And the relationship with Israel, therefore, is very important to that. So we have a larger interest also in that relationship. Where is it going in the future? So far, it's been steadily improving and going up. And as far as I can see, that's the way it will go in the future. It's going to get much better. The other question about nuclear, the situation in Asia, I think, you know, what we're seeing in Asia today is that the older certainties of U.S. extended deterrence to allies like the Philippines, like Japan, that the older sense that there was a stable nuclear balance which would keep the peace, I think that sense is eroding. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to have THAAD deployments in Korea, Japan talking about it, India working on ABM measures, China working not just on various ASAT and other space capabilities, but also on ABMs, on other, on MIRVing their missiles. So what you're seeing is a moment of transition in nuclear developments in the Asia-Pacific. And this is true of all the powers in the region, including, I assume, therefore, that non-nuclear weapon states like Japan, South Korea, and so on, are also looking at these developments and wondering how they can cope with it. Where do I think it'll go? Obviously, I mean, the Indian stand is clear. We think that a nuclear weapon-free world would be much safer, much better for all of us, would increase our security. But that's not happening tomorrow. I don't think there's any sign of that coming about. So I think today, unfortunately, there's nowhere where we discuss these issues, nowhere where the region as a whole looks at these questions. And there is no one place where I know of the new sort of nuclear paradigm for the region has been thought out. I think there's a lot of work here to be done. Maybe somewhere in Brookings, maybe Bob can help with this. Because it is worrying. I mean, it does worry me when I look at so many changes all in a very short period of time that the calculus of deterrence has really changed for many of us in the region.
You get the last word.
Thank you. Very quickly, our companies have produced a quadrupling of U.S.-India trade and a big increase in Indian investment in the States and U.S. investment in India. Our countries, our governments, disagree on global trade talks, how to arrange them, what should the principles be, how to deal with intellectual property rights, that kind of thing. So the private sectors have produced this big advance in the economic relationship, but the governments have ideological differences. Now, that's complicated by the recent turn against trade